Welcome to this segment of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with an attorney, Norman Chabelle, who's going to talk with us about sanctuary cities. I'm sure you've all heard about the tragic incident, the tragic shooting in San Francisco. Norman, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, now, first of all, for those who may have missed the story, tell us about this tragic shooting recently in San Francisco.
Well, it's hard to believe anybody missed the story. It's been on it for days and days. Kathy, a young lady of 32 years old, was walking on the San Francisco boardwalk one day, and an illegal immigrant who was a criminal who had been coming back and forth over the borders of five separate occasions had been let go by the San Francisco police for a violation of federal law. And with a gun, he just shot her several times and killed this 32-year-old woman who it's hard to believe that these things ever happen. And right now, going through Congress, they talk about something called Kathy's Law, which would go after these so-called sanctuary cities, which are number over 250 of them.
Wow.
Throughout America, and they entail, thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants. But the ones we have to worry about is the crooks and the murderers, which are out there. I mean, they have committed thousands of crimes which have never been resolved, and the federal statute is clear about it. The federal statute says that municipal, state employees, police have to pick these up and turn them over to the Fed, called ICE, ICE.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not being done. Now, unfortunately, our president is issued an executive order also confirming not to pick them up, notwithstanding there's a federal law which states that municipal employees have to pick them up and turn them over to the Fed. And that's what we have right now.
That's such a mess. It's unbelievable. By the way, was there any motivation that we know of in this shooting? I mean, was it just he just chose her at random?
Well, I don't know. His excuse was it was an accident. But he had a gun underneath a shirt or something, and it went off, and whether it was purposeful or unintentional, I don't know.
Right.
All I know is you got a dead woman of 32 years old.
Yeah, and he should not have been free to be able to even walk the streets, much less to kill somebody. Norman, can you explain the philosophy of a so-called sanctuary city?
Well, you know, I've been talking about it for some time now, and I've come to the conclusion that there's only one motive that sanctuary cities supposedly backs up. The motive is voting. As we all know, we had a good candidate in Mitt Romney for the Republicans back in 12, and he got 80% of the white vote, but only 20% of the Hispanic vote. The Hispanic vote today and tomorrow and next year is going to be the major vote deciding who governs our country. There's no doubt about it. We have 11 million illegals right now. What are we going to do with the 11 million illegals? Are we putting them on trains like they did the Jews during the war and to ship them out to camps? No, it's not going to happen. Eventually, what's going to happen, the 11 million illegals are going to be legalized one way or the other. Even now, out of the 11 million, 6 to 7% of them now have Social Security cards and driver's licenses. And notwithstanding that Hillary Clinton says a voter should just go up there and say, here I am, let me vote, they show those documents to prove that they're legal citizens, of course, which they're not, and they can vote. So the point is, what is the basis of all this? The basis is voting, voting, and voting. Eventually, you know, These Hispanics, Latinos are voting Democrat most of the time, as the African Americans, 90-95% of them vote for a black or a Democratic candidate. But the point is, when and where are we going to resolve this issue of 11 million illegals in our country, which eventually will be turned possibly into legal citizens, which in turn will vote Democrat?
And some of them, of course, are of the criminal element, and that, of course, is a small minority of the total, but it's still a problem. In fact, here's a talking point that your publicist sent me. A new report from the Center for Immigration Studies reports that 276 sanctuary cities let 8,145 illegal offenders free in just 8 months and are just part of an even larger release of 17,000 illegals with criminal records. That boggles the mind.
It does boggle the mind. But, you know, notwithstanding that our favorite President Obama wasn't the greatest lawyer in the world before he became president, he was a constitutional lawyer. Well, any Democrat, any politician knows that once you are president, and that's what he's been doing through executive orders, and obviously, look, he can do anything he really wants to, and Congress has to have two-thirds the vote to abnegate anything he does. I mean, our forefathers in 1789 in the Constitution tried to equalize the power of each branch.
Yes.
Well, the President of the United States has unequaled power, which would definitely equal the British Parliament back in 1789. The problem is Obama has been utilizing his power, as he has, without the consent of his equal government agency, which is Congress. Mm-hmm. Congress is muddling around, looking around. Iran, whatever it turns out to be, the president's bill is the one that is retained and becomes law.
All right, right now we're talking with Norman Chabelle. As a side note, he and his wife have put together a book called Under Paris Rooftops, expatriate couple pens memoir of marriage, adventure, trust in the city of light. But that has nothing to do with really what we're talking about here, which are these sanctuary cities. Now, Norman, let me ask you a question. I'm sure you're familiar in the Bible, there's the concept of the cities of sanctuary. And these were places where somebody may be accused of manslaughter, but not certainly first-degree murder, you know, intentional murder, could flee, and then maybe they would have, you know, a case or something like that. Some people have likened the sanctuary city to the cities of refuge. What are your thoughts?
Well, the word sanctuary means helping somebody, an area which helps people in destitution or whatever it is. But look, sanctuary cities are a violation of federal law. That's clear. The federal law, which is IIRTRA, which is also known as ICE, that's the ISIS, that's the Homeland Security's Immigration Custom Enforcement Act. There's a federal law that says that municipalities, employees, when you find an illegal immigrant that's committed a crime or has been released from the municipal lockup, you have to report and turn them over to the federal. Mm-hmm. They don't do it. That's what sanctuary cities are all about, to avoid turning over illegal aliens, whether criminals or not criminals, to the Fed. And that's the basic function of these cities. I mean, a sanctuary city, it's a violation of federal law. But here we have the president who issues an executive order that says to municipal employees, do not turn these criminals over to my people. Exactly. I mean, it's so clear. And the one, and again, I have to reiterate, the one reason all this is being done is because one of these days, a Latino vote, and as they probably did in 2012, are going to decide what president we're going to have and what president we're not going to have. And by the way, you mentioned my book. One of the reasons why Arlene and I did go to Paris, I wanted to get away from all these things that are part of my practice in New Jersey and among other states, et cetera, because I do class actions. And that's what has to happen. That class action has to be filed against these sanctuary cities and punish them financially. If they're punished financially, maybe they'll think twice about it. I had a case where 21 New Jersey cities, townships violated state law. We sued them and they had to pay a substantial amount of money in compensation to many, many people. Perhaps financial financial burdens on these sanctuary cities will make them think twice about violating federal law.
Yeah, so in the example of that poor young lady that was shot down last month or whenever it was, if her family were to sue San Francisco because of this sanctuary city policy they have, then maybe that would change things, perhaps.
Well, they're probably going to do it. I'm sure there's been many lawyers contacting them to take the case. But, you know, class action is even better than an individual action. A class action can be sued not for one person, one plaintiff who's injured, but for hundreds and thousands of them. It's various multiple cities or defendants. And that's probably what has to happen.
Yeah.
Give you one example of how financial punishment has hurt a city. New York City just settled on the Garner case, if you recall. That's the African American who was choked by a policeman negligently or whatever it is, and they settled for $5.5 million on one case. Can you imagine what a case for Kathy would be, and the thousands of others who've been injured could be in the billions.
Wow, that is amazing. By the way, we're all familiar with San Francisco as a sanctuary city. Can you name a few other cities, since there's 276 of them?
Another big culprit is Chicago. Chicago, with, you know, Emmanuel, Obama's right-hand guy, now mayor, et cetera, is also in the same situation as... But, you know, even in New Jersey, there's a couple of towns there. I mean, you're looking at 270 cities in America today, which are considered to be sanctuary cities. I mean, that's an awful lot of cities.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, there was a story just a couple of days ago in the Washington Examiner which said sanctuary city crime wave in 43 states.
That's exactly right. How many states? We only got 50. So only 7 or 8 states don't have sanctuary cities.
This is a serious, serious problem. Again, we're talking with Norman Schaebel, and he is an attorney, and maybe you'll be involved in one of these lawsuits to help stop this abuse of our system. It's amazing.
If a plaintiff came to me, an injured party, I would certainly look at it and see if a class action suit would be the way to go. With class action suits, there's certain federal remedies that you have to adhere to beside the validity of the case. And that's why class actions are somewhat difficult to promulgate. But I'm sure we can find a way to get a class action against these sanctuary cities in one massive litigation. And they'll look twice about it after the punishment or the rewards come in. One other thing, the reason why, I go back to the book on this Paris Rooftops, which my wife and I wrote, because she's been a lover of France ever since we got married, or even before that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided, instead of vacationing in Paris, to be legal temporary immigrants to Paris, because it's a wonderful city. We had a great time. I'm a foodie. I love great food there. We had a place that you can actually sit down overlooking the Bois de Boulogne or the Seine or the Arc de Triomphe and have a French breakfast.
Wow.
We had a great time, and eventually sold. We did financially well. The book will tell the reader how to go about doing it if they want to do it, but even not. The book is entertaining, and it has a sense of humor in it, because the contrast between my wife and myself and personalities are quite different, and it comes into a very comical lens.
Is there a website for the book?
If you do get the book, please review it and send it to Amazon, what your review is on the book.
Sure. And is there a website for the book at all?
Yeah, you can...
Or a website for you?
Paris Rooftops, or you can do Amazon, or you can do Chateau, Chateau Publishing, or you can just, do Norman Schaebel, Schaebel, and we'll send the book to you, to anybody.
Okay. All right. Very good. So we have about a minute left. What do you want to say about sanctuary cities and this incredible abuse of our system?
Well, I just, you know, after talking to myself so many times about it, what troubles me the most is why it's being done.
Yeah.
You know, you would think, well, it's humanitarian, etc. No, it's not humanitarian only. It's voting. I mean, we have a presidential election in 2012 that was lost by the Republicans because the Latino vote beat them. But it's the same thing with the African-American vote. They're 95% of the African-American. They vote Democrat all the time. And the same thing with the Latino vote. We got to tell these people, we have to show them that there are other parties, other political associates that will help them out. And that's the problem. We got to tell them that they should look twice before they vote. And, you know, like Hillary Clinton wants to do, she wants to bring the voter without any identity to be allowed to vote. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, that's outrageous. All right, we're out of time.
To come in and vote Democrat.
Norman Schaybell, thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.